Good afternoon, everybody, and it's a pleasure to be back here once again at the Lunch and Learn. What I'd like to talk about today is an issue that I think about personally very often because I am often put in this predicament. And I think there are valuable lessons along the way. And that is the issue of when a rabbi is in a position of leadership in the community and there are some conflicts that come up. And one of those conflicts that comes up every day, not a bad one, but a positive one, is the fact that the community tries to be respectful and they want to wait for the rabbi until they daven Chazaras HaShatz, until they start davening, continue the davening further. Now for me, that presents a very uncomfortable circumstance. Personally, I would prefer if nobody ever waited for me. I don't think I'm deserving of any respect. I think the community deserves its own respect and it has its own rabbis. You don't need to respect me. And aside from that, personally, it takes away from my davening. I enjoy davening slowly. I prefer to daven at my own pace, and I don't want that everyone in the shul should be breathing down my back and waiting until I'm finished and, you know, banging on the tables and wondering how long it's going to take the rabbi till he's done. So this is an issue that I think is an interesting one, and we have a number of factors that come to play. So that's what I'd like to discuss today. The first issue that one has to think about when we talk about such an issue is about being marich b'tfilaso. The Gemara Maseches Brachos on Daf Lamed Beis, if you look on the top of the page, it says, Amar Abchanin, Amar Abchanina. Kal hamarich b'tfilaso. Anyone who says the tfila in a slower pace, anyone who davens at a slower pace, ein tfilaso chozeres reikam. That tfila will not be returned empty-handed. God will listen to such a tfila. You know, so people ask me, you know, I remember when you were in the White Shul, you didn't daven this long, and now you came to the Yisrael Woodmere. What happened? I said, I have five times the amount of people to daven for. When I was in the White Shul, the shul was a fifth of the size, and now we have a lot more to daven for. So you should know, I daven very long because I think about a lot of things that people share with me, and there's a lot to daven for. And the Gemara says that someone who is marech b'tfilaso, someone who makes sure to daven carefully and slowly, ein tfilaso chozeres reikam. We are assured that such a tfila will be answered. How do we know such a thing? Says the Gemara, we learn that from Moshe Rabbeinu, because it says, Va'espalel el Hashem arbaim yom va'arbaim laila. We are told that Moshe Rabbeinu prostrates himself and offers a tefillah for arbaim yom, 40 days and 40 nights. And after putting himself out there in tefillah for 40 days and 40 nights, then we're told, Va'yishma Hashem elai gam bapamahi. God chose to listen to him because he was very sincere in the tefillah that he offered. And similarly, the Gemara goes so far as to say, in Maseches Brachos on Daf Nun Hei, that's the second entry, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Shlosha Dvarim Hamarech Bahem Marichin Lo Yamav Ushnosav Shalatam. You know, we're all looking for the quick fix. What can we do to have long lives? What else would a person want in a long, healthy life? And the Gemara says, one very easy answer is, Hamarech B'tfilaso. If someone makes sure to be careful about the way they daven, and to say the words with sincerity and slowly, so then the Gemara says, you will be rewarded with a long life. So there's a story told about the famous Chassam Sofer, one of the great Gedolim in the 1800s, that apparently when he was young, when he was in yeshiva, he used to daven for a very long time, and it was much more exaggerated than many others of his friends. And they made fun of him, and they said, you know, in our yeshiva, the point of us being here is not really to daven. Yeah, you got to daven every day, but the point of us being here is to really grow and become great Torah scholars. But you're wasting so much time on the davening, when are you ever going to learn? What's going to be? What's going to become of you? Now, obviously, we know the end of the story. He became the great Chassam Sofer. But he responded to his friends based on this Gemara, and he said, the Gemara tells us that somebody who spends a lot of time davening, marichin lo yamu v'shnosav, he said, with the extra years that I'll be given because of the time I spend on my davening, that's when I'll spend, you know, the time learning that I missed out on as a child. So the Gemara tells us that we are assured of such a thing. So the Medrash writes in Sefer Tehillim, Amar Rav Zeira. So it's an interesting thing. How often are we allowed to petition God for something that we want? You know, we have a need. How many times are you going to ask Him for the same thing? Someone doesn't have a job. Someone doesn't have a parnassah. So what, every day you're going to go in Shmona Esrei and bother God about the same thing? You know, imagine if you had a friend who wanted a favor from you and you weren't interested the first time he asked you, and then comes back again and you're still not interested. Come back 5-6 times. How many times is it going to be until you're going to just lose your temper, lose your patience and say,
yeah, but a friend you can tell take a walk. With God, you don't tell him take a walk.
Right. So maybe God will tell you take a walk.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. So that's the question. So the Medrash writes in Sefer Tehillim, Amar Rav Zeira. When we talk about prayer, when we talk about tefillah, it's a very different perspective. So the Medrash says, Adam yesh lo ohev. If we are friends with each other, kol zman shehu mevakesh mimenu tzarachav u'she'elosav. If you're going to ask the person incessantly for a favor, you need to borrow money, you need something, you need a favor. Husono u'marchiko. The more you ask, the more agitated I'm going to get. The more I'm going to distance myself from you and make sure I don't have to bump into you. I don't want to be awkward. I don't want to see you again. I just have to keep on denying you the favor that you want. Avala kadosh baruch hu eino kein. God doesn't work that way. Our relationship with God is very different. If a person is willing to ask God with sincerity for what it is that they need, he doesn't look at you as a person who is just needy and nagging and annoying and frustrating. No. The more a person prostrates themselves in tefillah, the more a person is willing to have this correspondence, this relationship with God, says the Medrash, who mechavav abiyoser, God loves you all the more so. Kol ma'ase Yisrael dochakin ubam lamakum tefillah. So God says, the more and more that the Jews come and put themselves out before me in tefillah and prayer, simcha hi lufanav, it is a great joy in my eyes, and therefore it says, mi ka shem elokeinu b'chol kareinu elav. Who can be compared to our God, that every time we call out to Him, He's still willing to listen? And that's what the Gemara says from the Pasuk as well. Kaveh al Hashem, chazak v'yameitz libecha, v'kaveh al Hashem. What does it mean? Put yourself out and ask God for whatever it is that you need. Chazak v'yameitz libecha, strengthen your heart, v'kaveh al Hashem, and ask Him again. And just because you weren't answered the first time does not mean that He's not going to listen the second or the third time. And one should never feel that if they're offering a tefillah with sincerity, one should never feel that such a tefillah is going to go unnoticed. Now, is God going to always give us what we ask for? Not necessarily. But it doesn't mean that it's going to be a nuisance to Him if we continue to ask for it. My father told me on many occasions that Rav Soloveitchik mentioned in Shir that there were hundreds of tefillahs that he offered, that God should not put him into the terrible position where he's going to have to leave Europe and end up in the Treifa Medina, America. Hundreds of tefillahs that he offered that he shouldn't have to end up in America. And he said, did I know what I was davening for? How blessed I am that God didn't listen to me. How lucky I am that I ended up having my life saved because God chose not to listen to me. And this is what he said, we mean in Shema Kolenu every day in our davening, we say, V'kabel b'rachamim u'v'ratzon es tefilaseinu. Part of God's mercy is that sometimes He chooses to ignore our tefillah. Part of His mercy is that sometimes we daven for something and we don't even know what it is that we're supposed to be davening for. We ask for a Yeshua, we ask for God to come and help us out with something, but we don't even realize that that is going to be perhaps a downfall, that is going to be a negative in our lives. And this is really, what Rav Soloveitchik said, this is a very important perspective to have every time that we daven. Yeah?
How many times did Moshe Rabbeinu ask Hashem to go with Eretz Yisrael?
Mm-hmm. So that's true. How many times did Moshe Rabbeinu ask to go into Eretz Yisrael? The Gemara says 515, right? Gematria of Eschanan. So the Gemara tells us he offered 515 tefillos, and yet he was answered slightly. He was answered partially because initially God said he's not even allowed to see it. God didn't allow him to have any relationship. But in the end, God allowed him to go up on the mountain and have the view, have the perspective of what Eretz Yisrael is, so the tefillah actually worked. Now, what does that mean? You change God's mind? No, that's not what it means. So the Sefer HaKuzari and other Jewish philosophers try to explain, well, what happened? So God decided no, and then you bothered Him enough until He changed His mind. Obviously, that's not what it means. So some suggest maybe the understanding to that. I think if I'm not mistaken, the Mabit, one of the great Gedolim, I think it was in the 1500s, he has a Sefer called Beis Elokim LaHamabit. And he writes, it's a lot of different issues about tefillah. And he writes there, if I'm not mistaken, that the understanding here is to be as follows. He says, you ever notice that when we talk about tefillah, we say lehispalel in the reflexive? It should be lefalel. Why is it lehispalel? What does that have to do with me? So the answer that he suggests is, when a person davens, it's in the reflexive because it changes my own persona, changes my personality. When I have this experience with God, when I communicate with Him, it changes who I am. It doesn't change who God is. Now God has to look at me differently because I'm not the same person that He decided yesterday wasn't going to have the job. I'm not the same person that He decided yesterday wasn't going to have the children or the grandchildren or the shidduch or the good health or anything else. So now that I put myself out in tefillah and I personally became a changed person, so now we assume that God has to reconsider how He's going to look at me. And that's why we refer to tefillah as lehispalel in the reflexive, because not that we daven to God and we change Him, but rather we daven to God and we change ourselves while going through that a very uplifting process. So, the first part of our shiur is about the importance of tefillah. And that, I think we've mentioned, that can never be overstated. It can never be said enough. Tefillah is such an important part of our day. The next factor that we have to take into consideration is something that the Gemara teaches us in many different contexts. So, number one, the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos Daf Yud Beis, when the Siddur was being put together, so the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah were trying to figure out, what should we advise the Jewish people, the Jewish communities, to say in their tefillah every day? Not so simple. If I would give you an open book and say, I want you to figure out what the Jews should say for all eternity in their davening every day, it's not so easy to figure out what to put in. So they were trying to figure out, maybe we should say Shema Yisrael every day. Sounds like a nice idea. Maybe we should say Shemona Esrei. Also sounds like a good idea. Well, what's going to be included in the Shemona Esrei wasn't so easy to figure out. But the Gemara says at a certain period when they were trying to figure out what belongs in the Siddur and what perhaps does not, the Gemara says, Bikshu Lekvoa Parshas Balak Bikriya Shema. They had this great idea. Maybe we should recite the story of Balak and Bilam HaRasha, the whole story that took place with the donkey and the Russia who tried to curse the Jewish people. Maybe we should mention that story every day in our davening. Why? Why would we mention that in our davening every day? So the Rishonim explained, because that is a very strong reminder that a person should make sure that they listen to the will of God. Look what happens when you don't. Even a donkey is better than you. Even a donkey is better than you. So it would make sense that we should add that paragraph into our daily tefillah in order to remind ourselves that this is the way we're supposed to lead our days. We're supposed to make sure that we listen to God and we follow His wishes every day of our lives. So, ever notice that we daven every day and we don't have the parsha of Bilam in our davening? What happened? Why did they vote it out? So the Gemara says, they voted it out because Toreach HaTzibur. That would take too long. What, you're going to lay in a whole parsha in the middle of davening? So it's very nice. There's a message that's important here in Parshas Bilam. And it could be a very powerful message for a Jew at the beginning of his day to remind him or herself that, yes, you should listen to the will of God. You should always follow what He instructs you to do. But on the other side of the argument, it's going to take too long. I got to make the train. Who has time for this? I have to go to work and we're all running busy lives. And who has time to go read a whole Parsha in the Torah in the middle of davening in the morning? So the Gemara says they took it off the list. It was no longer a candidate to be inserted into the davening. The Gemara says there on Daf Chav Zayin, an amazing story. The Gemara tells us, Pam achas niskashu shamayim ba'avim. Everybody thought that it was nighttime. Now they didn't have clocks like we have today. Everybody looks up at the sky and they see pitch dark. Everybody was convinced that it was night. Why would they think otherwise? So, naturally, everybody comes to the shul. It was Shabbos afternoon. They decided, I guess Shabbos is over, let's go daven Ma'ariv. They go and they daven Ma'ariv, and all of a sudden they realize it was just clouds. In the middle of Ma'ariv, all of a sudden the skies open up, and the sun reappears, and it's broad daylight. So they go to Rebbe. Rebbe was one of the great Tanaim, and they ask him, what are we supposed to do? We daven Ma'ariv already, but it's in the middle of the day. So Rebbe told them that he advised that there was no reason to come back and daven again later. Hoil v'hispalalu hispalalu. Since you already convened the minyan, you got everyone together, and they prayed tefillas Ma'ariv, no reason to have them come back again later. Why? Asked the Gemara. Mipnei toreach hatzibur. What, you're going to bother everybody to come back again? After we got them all to come to shul and to daven, now you're going to tell them to come back a second time? That's inappropriate. That's not right. You're going to bother people and tell them that they have to waste more time, says the Gemara. Unacceptable. You don't do that. Everybody davened early, and that's okay. So much so that the Gemara says in Maseches Erev in Daf Mem Gimel, this is an amazing thing. The Gemara tells us, we daven every day, Achakala b'chol yom sheyavo. We wait for Mashiach, we wait for Eliyahu HaNavi, and every speech ends, we should have, Mashiach come and everything. It's something we think about all the time in the Ani Mamans. And yet the Gemara says, do you know that there are some days in the calendaric year where Mashiach is not able to come? What are those days? Says the Gemara, Kvam Mevtuch Lo, the Yisrael, the Jewish people have already been promised that Eliyahu HaNavi lo ba ba'arvei shabbasus ba'arvei yamim tovim. Eliyahu HaNavi will not come on Friday afternoon or on Erev Yom Tov. Why not?
People are preparing.
What, you're going to bother me with Eliyahu HaNavi? Says the Gemara. Mipnei HaToreach. I'm busy making the challen for Shabbos. I'm busy giving my kids a bath. I'm busy going to wherever I'm supposed to go. What are you going to tell me? Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come be in my way now? you all remember you make yantif. I don't know if now most of the people in the room go away for yantif or you go to your children, but you remember when you had young families what Erev Yantif is like, and you're trying to juggle everything and make the food, and you're trying to make sure your house is under control and it's clean and it's all ready. It's not so simple. So now what? Now another headache? I'm going to have to worry with Eliyahu HaNavi. So I would have said, I'll take the headache. It's Eliyahu HaNavi. What do you mean? We'll have the Beis HaMikdash. But the Gemara says, no, Eliyahu HaNavi is considerate. And he says, no, we'll wait till after yantif. Why? Because I don't want to bother the people who are busy doing other things. B'pnei HaTorech. Tircha de Tzibura is a concept that the Gemara discusses in many different places. And it's a very important one, so much so that the Gemara says even Eliyahu HaNavi is willing to wait because he doesn't want to inconvenience people, because he doesn't want to bother them. So the Gemara has a story in Maseches Yuma that every year on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol used to be the centerpiece of everything that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. So part of what he had to do, part of his activity on Yom Kippur, was that he had to make sure to read from the Sefer Torah. And they have a big gathering, everybody's watching, everybody's listening, and the Kohen Gadol takes out the Sefer Torah, but the problem is he has to read from three different places in Chumash. So what's he supposed to do? The Gemara says, well, two of the places he has to read from are right near each other. One is in Parshas Acharei Mos, one is in Parshas Emor, so those are both in Sefer Vayikra, so it'll roll a little bit, not a big deal. But then he has to lane from the end of Sefer Bamidbar, and that poses a problem. The Gemara says when he lanes from Parshas Pinchas, what's he supposed to do? If he's going to sit and roll the Sefer Torah, he's going to waste everybody's time. So here he has hundreds of thousands of Jews crowding around, listening to him, watching him, doing everything, just so focused on what he's doing, and now he's going to waste their time because he has to roll the Sefer Torah to the end of Sefer Bamidbar. We all know how annoying it is when we come to shul, and it turns out they took out the wrong Sefer Torah, and they start rolling it, and everyone's just annoyed. How come nobody thought of this before? And why did you take out the wrong one? And everyone's yelling at the Gabbai, at the Balkore. So the Gemara says, we don't want that to happen. We're going to inconvenience everybody, make them sit around and do nothing. Says the Gemara, the third parsha that he has to read from, instead of wasting people's time and making himself roll the Sefer Torah to where he needs to get, we're going to tell him to say it by heart. He has to practice it before Yom Kippur and make sure he says it by heart. Because we have...
Why don't we take out another Torah?
So why don't we take out another Torah is a good question. And that, in fact, is the practice that we have today. The Rambam writes, if you look... I'm sorry, I forgot to put it on here, but the Rambam says... Ein liglo sefer Torah b'tzibur. The Rambam says, if you are the gabbai of the shul, it's not right to wait until Shabbos morning or Yom Tov morning, and then I'm going to start rolling it. That's not proper, that's not right. Part of your responsibility as being one of the leaders of the synagogue is, you have to make sure everything is prepared. And why do we care? Why don't you say, well, come tomorrow morning and we'll figure it out. The answer is no. But pnei tircha d'tzibur, you don't have a right to make people wait. Shabbos morning, Yom Tov morning, everyone's going to come to shul, and then they're going to wait for you because you were too lazy to do it the night before. So the Rambam writes, this is something that is inappropriate. And the Taz writes in Hilchos Tzitzis, the same idea. We have a concept in Shulchan Aruch, when a person wears tzitzis, you're supposed to check the knots before you put it on to make sure everything is the way it's supposed to be. And you're supposed to tighten it before you put it on. So that's what many men do in the morning. Says the Taz, you get called up for an aliyah. You weren't expecting to get the aliyah. All of a sudden you hear your name called out, you come running up to the bima. You're going to say, oh, hold on a minute. I'm not ready. First, I got to get the towels. Then I have to check to see if all the tzitzis are the way they're supposed to be. And after I figure all this out, then maybe I'll take the aliyah. Everyone just hang on, says the towels. Absolutely not. Even though it's true that before one puts on a talis, you're supposed to do your best to make sure the tzitzis are the way they're supposed to be. But when the whole community is waiting for you, when the whole shul is waiting for you to take the aliyah, that is not the appropriate time for you to start worrying about whether or not the tzitzis are tied the way they should be. So we have many different places in Shulchan Aruch and in Halacha where tircha de tzibura plays a very integral role. It's a very important piece of the equation. And this is something that we need to take into consideration. So that is factor number two. As we started, factor number one is being marif b'tfilah, so davening along Shmona Esrei is wonderful. Factor number two is, tircha de tzibura is horrible. So now we turn to factor number three, and that is, what is our perspective toward the rabbi that we have in the shul? I don't consider myself to be talking about myself, because we have Rabbanim who are above me, everybody waits for them, so I'm talking about them. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deis, let's look at number Hey, the fifth entry on the source sheet, where the Rambam says, Mitzvah saseh lehi davek bechachamim uvetalmidehem. We have a special mitzvah that we are supposed to have a relationship with the Talmidei Chachamim of our generation. Why is that? Why does the Torah tell me who to be friendly with? I can choose my own friends. What, the Torah is going to tell me that it's appropriate to be friendly with this one and not to be friendly with the other one? I'll decide on my own who I want to be friendly with. Says the Rambam, the reason why is, kidei lilmod mimaseihem. Because if you're close with someone, you begin to learn about the way they lead their lives. Now, the understanding of the Rambam is that Talmidei Chachamim live an upstanding lifestyle. That Talmidei Chachamim are supposed to be the most ethical people out there. That is the way it's supposed to be. That is really the value that we look toward, that we're supposed to all achieve. So the Rambam says, because our understanding is that the Talmud Chacham is going to be living a life of such integrity, of such sincerity, therefore it would be advisable that members of the community should get to know that individual in order that they should learn from the way that person leads their life. Lefikach, therefore he says, a person should do whatever they can to try and become close with them. And the Rambam says, by coming close with the Talmud Chacham or the Tzaddik or the Rabbi, that in turn is as if you're becoming closer to God, because it will encourage you to have a more careful practice of all the things that God asked you to do. In fact, the Mechilta writes a number of Vav, if you look here, in next week's parsha we learn that Vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe Avdo. Moshe Rabbeinu takes the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, and as we know, they have this incredible miracle, and it's something that the world has never seen. It's an experience that we've never had on any other occasion. And the Jewish people turn around and they begin to sing Shira, and they say Az Yashir Moshe, as we say in our davening every day. But in the context of that, the Torah tells us Vayaminu b'Hashem, they believed in God, Uven Moshe Avdo, and they believed in Moshe Rabbeinu. What do we need that addendum? They believed in God and they believed in Moshe. What do you need to believe in Moshe? If you believe in God, you have it all. If you don't believe in God, you have nothing. So it says the Mechilta, Vayaminu b'Hashem of Moshe Avdo, number above, in b'Moshe Haminu, if they believed in Moshe, Kavachom b'Hashem. If they believed in Moshe Rabbeinu, then certainly they believed in God. So what does it mean? Umau Tamalomer b'Hashem uv'Moshe answers the Mechilta l'lamedchad, comes to teach you, Shekalamamin b'Roa Yisrael. If you have trust, if you have a relationship with the one who is the leader of the Jewish people at the time, it is ki'ilu mamin b'mi sha'amar v'haya ha'olam. It is as if you believe in God Himself. That's what it means, Vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe avdo. It's important that we have leaders of communities that we can trust, that we have leaders of our community that we feel are people of integrity, that we can turn to, that we can learn from, that we can look at the way they lead their ethical lives. So that is a very important perspective that we all need to have. And the Achronim talk about the importance of every community having a rabbi. So nowadays we have a practice that every other block opens up their own breakaway shul and everybody does their own thing. And aside from the fact that there's a challenge of Berov HaMadras Melech, that you're supposed to daven with a community, you're not supposed to have breakaways, you're not supposed to daven in a place that's just someone's basement, doesn't have a Sefer Torah in it, might not have a Kedusha of a Beis HaKnesses. So obviously if someone's not well, so you make a minyan, it's a different story. But just for people's convenience, it's a very questionable thing to do. But aside from all of that, people lose the relationship that they're supposed to have with a leader. And that's a very important part of the fabric of what the Jewish people are all about. That we understand we always need to inspire ourselves. We always need to make sure that we have people that we look up to. And rabbis also need to have people that they look up to. They're not in their own playing field. They have to make sure that they always have teachers that they turn to, that they get inspired from. And this is something that is very important. And as a result of that, there were many who developed a practice that as a respectful way to treat our rabbi, we will make sure that whenever the rabbi is davening with us, we are going to wait for him. We want to show our community that the rabbi is a meaningful part of our lives, and therefore we're never going to go ahead without the rabbi ready to daven. Is this a proper practice or not?
Yes and no.
Yes and no. Let's hear.
Yeah. Because
depends what kind of rabbi it depends.
I was thinking of this before, that it brings up a certain conflict which requires some balance. On the one hand, the person who's leading the davening has some sort of a responsibility not to drag, mm-hmm. right? So everybody loses patience, right. Loses their focus. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, as you've said right from the beginning, if you focus and concentrate on your davening, mm-hmm. then it takes a little longer because perhaps the reward would be greater. Mm-hmm. Some place you have this thing over here that says, drag it out, man. Right? Mm-hmm. Over here you said, we got to make the 802.
Right.
So
I set up the dilemma for you, and that's the question. So how do we deal with it?
Right.
You know, in the whole shira, you explain that tzilcha de sibur is a very important thing.
Mm-hmm.
That almost, I'm going to say something to cause controversy, it's almost more important than the prayer. You don't take tzchar on yourself by forcing someone else ill to wait or what have you. And you keep saying that we have to give the rabbi, if you take some 4 hours to say Vanessa, we wait for it. What about him?
I didn't say anything yet.
No,
I just presented the dilemma.
I'm making the question.
So that's.
I said, So just like I got to respect him,
he has to respect me.
He got to respect me.
Absolutely. So that's the question. So that's exactly the question. I'm glad everyone understands it. And that's the dilemma.
Now, when we get to that concept, mm-hmm. I said, that goes and says there has to be a mean of how long it should take to God.
There has to be an understanding.
10 minutes, yes. Whatever it is. But it's not 11 minutes.
Okay. I understand. So what's fascinating is there's a sefer called the Tshuvas Binyamin Ze'ev. Now, none of us have ever heard of it. The reason why is because most people don't read it. But the Ramah every so often quotes something in the name of the Tshuvas Binyamin Ze'ev. So he was a significant personality in halachic literature. And he discusses this issue in the 1600s. And he's wondering, is this the proper practice that we wait for the rabbi? After all, we have a whole community. We got to make the train. Who cares about the rabbi? I respect him in a million other ways. What, I got to also miss the train because of him? So writes the Binyamin Ze'ev in trying to tackle this problem. He says, La'anias daiti, ein linog minog zeh. I think this is a major mistake. We don't wait for the rabbi. The only person that we care about in shul is God. We got to have our relationship with God. We're all here to daven. If our community is davening at a certain pace and the rabbi decides he wants to daven longer, that's his problem. Writes the Binyamin Ze'ev, it's not going to be my issue to go and wait for him. He should figure out how to daven faster in order to keep up with us. That's what he says. Wow. And that's quoted in the Ramah Lahalacha. Now, not so fast. This was a major issue of contention. And 150 years later, this came challenged by Rabbi Kiva Eger and many other great Achronim who said, we cannot accept that. What do you mean? You're going to say every community should just go off on their own and do whatever they want and never wait for the rabbi to daven? After all, probably the rabbi is a reasonable person. We assume the rabbi probably has the community in mind, but at the same time, the rabbi also just wants to say the words of davening. You know, I don't think I daven slowly. I think I daven regular pace. I think everybody else davens quickly. So it's all a matter of perspective. You know, it's just a question what your perspective is. So Rabbi Kiva Eger writes the following. Look at number Zion, where he says, "Eifshel l'shanos binyan ha'hamtana li'av bezdin." He says, I don't think we should change our practice at all. And because the practice has developed for so many centuries that we wait for the rabbi, he says, I would not change that at all. I would say we continue to wait for the rabbi. He says, this is something that the rabbi has no right to say, don't wait for me. The rabbi should be understanding enough to have a reasonable time that he davens. But at the same time, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, we as a community should have a reasonable perspective that we should give him another couple of minutes. And Tircha D'Tzibura gets pushed to the wayside, even though everybody in the shul might be finished. And even though we're making them wait, and even though Eliyahu HaNavi wouldn't make us be bothered by him, he wouldn't make us inconvenience, still says Rabbi Kiva Eger, he thinks it is inappropriate not to wait for the rabbi, and this has been the practice for so many years. So now, what's the bottom line? What are we supposed to do? So we know in many of our communities, we wait for the rabbi. And we assume that the rabbi is going to be reasonable enough to daven at a pace that's okay for the community. So the Mishnah Berurah discusses the issue and he says, we're not waiting for the rabbi per se because we have so much respect for the rabbi. Rather, writes the Mishnah Berurah, it's very interesting. He says, let's say you have a minyan where the rabbi doesn't come. You have a minyan of just the community members who show up at the minyan. The rabbi is not going to be there. Says the Mishnah Berurah, you should look around the minyan for the person who davens with the most sincerity. That's the one you should wait for. Why? Because he says, the point of waiting for the rabbi is not because we want to show how much respect we have. Rather, writes the Mishnah Berurah, the reason we wait for the rabbi is because we're assuming that some people mumble the words and don't say them the way they're supposed to. We assume if there's one person in the room who's probably saying every word, it must be the rabbi. Now, not always is that the case. Not every rabbi davens like a mensch, litzah reino harav. But a rabbi is supposed to daven carefully. And says the Mishnah Berurah, if you have a situation where the rabbi is not there, you should wait for someone who you know is saying the words carefully. And that's what he writes. Now, what if you're the rabbi, you're the person who they're waiting for, you're the one who davens with sincerity in the room, let's say you're the one they're all looking toward, and it just makes you uncomfortable. You know, I come to a minyan in the shul, I am so uncomfortable if anybody ever waits for me. I try to tell every gabbai, I've been here 3 years already, the gabbai, I'm still sometimes don't know, I'm very uncomfortable when I'm waiting for. I don't want anyone waiting for me, I would rather them go ahead as if I'm not there. So the question is, what is one supposed to do in that circumstance? The Mishnah Berurah writes something astounding. Writes the Mishnah Berurah, if you are afraid that people are going to wait for you, and you don't want them to because of Tircha D'Tzibura, or for whatever reason, he says, in the middle of your Shemona Esrei, you should take 3 steps back as if you have finished. And let them think that you're finished. I do it all the time, by the way. Let them think that you're finished. And then once they think that you're finished, they'll go ahead and continue on with the davening, and you'll go ahead and continue on with your davening. It's nobody's business what you're doing under your talis and your private sitter. That's your business. And therefore, says the Mishnah Brura, you have a right to just take 3 steps back in the middle, as if your Shmoneh Esrei has completed, which is a very surprising comment. And it brings us to another issue, and that is, do we have a right to make interruptions in the middle of our Shmoneh Esrei? Do we have a right to just start walking around? Do we have a right to just start making signals in the middle? Very surprising halacha that the Mishnah Brura writes here. We'll end in another 5 minutes, right? Is that correct? Want people to have a chance to learn? I don't want to keep people too long. No, I don't want to keep people too long. Tircha de Tzibura. I want everyone to enjoy the reading.
That's fine.
So, there's a Gemara Maseches Yuma, Daf Yud Tes, the bottom Gemara, number Tes here. So the Gemara says, if you want to look inside, we're told the following. There was once a discussion in a Beis Medrash. The Gemara says they were having some conversation in Halacha, and one of the people present overhears that somebody made a mistake in the way they mentioned a certain aspect of what they were saying. So he motions to him, like, you know, to let him know that you made a mistake. Like we would do today. No, you know, you call out to the person. So he motions to him. So the Gemara asks, why does he motion? What kind of way is that to talk to somebody? Why don't you just confront the person and say, by the way, I think you made a mistake. What are you, raising your hands, waving your fingers? What is that all about? So the Gemara answers, no. This person was in the middle of saying Kriya Shema. They're in the middle of saying Kriya Shema. In the middle of Kriya Shema, you're not allowed to make any interruption. But they heard that a halacha was being said over inaccurately. So they have to do something. I can't talk in the middle of Kriya Shema, but I have to do something to correct the mistake. So he starts waving with his hand and letting him know that you got to say it over properly and you're making a mistake in the way you are recording the halacha. That is what the Gemara tells us the story is. And that is quoted la halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. If you have a dvar mitzvah in the middle of davening, for example, let's say the Chida writes the following story. Every so often, my children come to shul with me. I think for the most part, they're pretty well behaved. I was actually very offended. Someone recently said to me, oh, your kids are the ones who are always running around the shul. I said, my kids? My kids are the best behaved in the whole shul. Never. I'm sorry to say, but anyway, I guess.
You have 2 separate boys that I see every
yes.
day.
So, the one who doesn't know how to behave doesn't come to shul.
I noticed that.
Okay, that's why. When he knows how to behave, he'll come to shul. That's what it is. So, the Chida writes, imagine you have a person whose children might not know how to behave so well in shul, and they're making noise and they're disturbing everybody, but I'm in the middle of Shemona Esrei, so what am I supposed to do? What should I do? On the one hand, I'm talking to God. On the other hand, my child is disturbing everybody. What? Take care of the kid, says the Chida. Do whatever you have to do to take care of the kid. Either take him out of shul in the middle of Shemona Esrei, you can walk around, take him out, and do what you have to do. Or quiet him down, or wave your finger, or whatever it takes. You don't hit him, but whatever. What? Yeah?
It's the same concept.
That what?
Take care of your guest first, poor God.
Correct. So that's what the Chida writes. He says, although it's true you're not allowed to make any interruption in the middle of davening, but when it's at the expense of everybody else's davening, so that's what you do. It's a dvar mitzvah. Your mitzvah right now is to take care of your children and to be mindful of everybody else's around you. Now, as an aside, I would say, if your child doesn't know how to behave in shul, it always bothers me. Don't bring your kids to shul. If they're not old enough to know how to sit and behave and not bother and disturb other people, then they shouldn't be there.
Obviously,
yeah.
If you're home alone, your kids bother you.
Correct.
If your child doesn't understand, you know, he's too young to understand it, mm-hmm. it's not supposed to interrupt you. I think you need to take care of your child.
Right, so the Chida writes, you have a right to make a signal to him or, you know, to do whatever it takes. You know, there's a fascinating comment in the Chayei Adam. Chayei Adam is one of the most important Sifrei Halacha that in Europe everybody relied on. Before the Mishnah Brura was written, everybody relied on the Chayei Adam. So the Chayei Adam has a comment, which is an amazing one. He says, sometimes, you know, you're davening Shmona Esrei. I don't know if it ever happened to anyone in the room, but once in a while it happens to me. Unfortunately, I confess, I don't always daven looking at every word in the Siddur, and it happens to be Rosh Chodesh, and I forget to say Yalav Yavo once in a while. Or, you know, once in a while it's Hanukkah or Purim or Yom Tov, and you forget to say the insertions that you're supposed to say. Or you have Talamata, or all these kinds of insertions. Not always does everybody remember to do what they're supposed to do. And, to make it worse, not everybody always had an Art Scroll Siddur where you just flip to the back and see what to do if you make a mistake. So we're very lucky that in the back of our Siddurim today, it tells you the rules, how you make up for the mistake that you made in the middle of your davening. But that wasn't always the case. So it used to be You're in the middle of Shemona Esrei, and now you're stuck. You realize, I forgot Yalla V'Yalla, I forgot Masha V'Ruach, I forgot Talumutter. I'm not sure what to do. Do I continue? Do I go back? Do I start over? Do I just forget it? Not so easy to know all the rules. And sometimes it's very complicated. So the Chai Adam says, look, if you're in a community, and you happen to be stuck in a place where you just don't know what to do, you have a right not only to go to the back of the shul and look in the svarim to figure out what the halach is in the middle of Shemona Esrei, but also, he says, you have a right to go to the rabbi in the middle of Shemona Esrei and ask him your question. Because, he says, it's litzara hatfila. You're in the middle of Shemona Esrei, you don't know what to do, and you're stuck. So he says you have every right to go up to the rabbi and to have a conversation with him in the middle of your own Shemona Esrei in order to figure out, how do I proceed? What am I supposed to do? Not that you're allowed to talk about other things, but because this is going to facilitate your davening, because it's going to allow you to daven properly and figure out what the right thing to do is, therefore, he says, you have every right to stop what you're doing and go and ask that question. I remember when I was a child, so growing up, we always davened in YU. My father was there 3 tefillos a day. So one day we were davening there, and there was a boy in my father's shir who was a very nervous person. And for some reason, he always made mistakes in the middle of davening. Whatever it was, he always had a problem. He was a very brilliant guy. So he walks over to my father in the middle of Shemona Esrei, and he says, Rebbe, can I bother you? My father says, what's the problem? He says, I made a mistake in Shemona Esrei. I forgot what the question was. He this, he forgot that. He said this bracha before the other one. I don't know what happened. And he asked my father, what's the halacha? My father told him whatever he said. Either he said continue or go back, whatever he told him. So the guy starts arguing. He says, but in the Mishnah Berurah it says this. He starts arguing with him. My father says, there's a heter to talk in the middle of Shemona Esrei, letzara chatfila. There's no heter for you to argue with me in the middle of Shemona Esrei. So it's true. The Chai Adam writes, yes, under normal circumstances, you're not really supposed to make any interruptions in the middle of davening. Of course. However, he says, under extenuating circumstances, when a person has no other option, I just don't know how to proceed, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, in a case like that, he says, not only are you allowed to wave with your finger, like the Gemara says in Maseches Yuma, and not only am I allowed to pick up the child and walk him out of shul, but he says, you're allowed to go and talk to the rabbi in the middle of Shemona Esrei. So therefore, based on all of that, the Mishnah Berurah writes here, he feels the same would apply as well. If a rabbi is uncomfortable with the fact that people are waiting for them, for example, myself, I'm very uncomfortable. I don't like it when people wait for me. So most of the time, the rabbi knows not to wait. But every so often, he doesn't know. Every so often, he doesn't know. And I feel, I'm telling you, you feel the community breathing down your back. You feel everybody just waiting. When is that idiot rabbi going to finish his Shemona Esrei? And I can't take it. I can't have any concentration. So I just either take 3 steps back in the middle of davening, as the Mishnah Berurah suggests, or I'll just turn around and wave to the chazan that he should go without me and he shouldn't worry. Yes?
I think it's fair to say, and I'm not attempting to embarrass you in any way.
Yes.
But when you're up front and you're davening by yourself, you have your own pace and speed. Okay?
Yeah.
But on the occasions when you are in the seaport, it is an entirely different pace, and I know that you are respecting.
So is this an indictment, or this is...
No, not at all.
Yes, that's what I feel. When I'm asked to be the Shliach Tzibur, so you have to daven differently. You have to take things into account.
Absolutely.
And this is really what the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos. The Gemara says Rabbi Kiva, one of the greatest Tanaim that ever lived. Rabbi Kiva, it says, used to daven with so much sincerity, with so much passion. So much so that the Gemara tells us that when Rabbi Kiva davened, he would start Bezavis Achas, and he would end up Bezavis Acheres. What does that mean? He would start a Shemona Esrei over here, and he would get so engrossed, so involved, he would end up on the other side of the room. He was taken by his davening. And yet it says, when he davened together with his community, when he wasn't davening by himself, when he davened together with everyone in the shul, he thought, that is not the proper way to daven. I have to daven, I have to cut it down, I have to make sure that I'm respectful of everybody else, and that is a very important virtue. That's a very important thing to keep in mind. So yes, just to sum it all up, davening with sincerity and passion is very important. Davening, like the Gemara says, marich b'tfilah, so if somebody makes sure to daven slowly and carefully and say all the words, marichin lo yom levushnosav, great, you'll have a long life. However, we have many other things that come into play. On the one hand, if you're a leader of a community and people are going to wait for you, you have to worry about tircha d'tzibura. You can't just ignore it. You can't say that it's not my problem and I'm davening like the mensch and let them all figure out what to do. No, we have an understanding of how long it's supposed to take people in our community to daven. And for some people it's longer, for some people it's shorter, but we have a general average of what's considered to be reasonable, and that's something that must be respected. If somebody feels that they're in a position where they want to elongate their tefillah and others are waiting for them, so then we have these options, which are either you can make a motion to them in the middle of davening, or as we said, Under extenuating circumstances, you have a right even to walk around in the middle of your davening, to take 3 steps back, even though you're right in the middle of Shmona Esrei, because you don't want the community to wait for you, or because it's taking away from your own concentration. When I know the community is waiting for me, I simply cannot concentrate and go further on in my davening. Yeah?
I'm not that well versed. I don't.